Experience the joy of running in the new Triumph 22 from Saucony, the original running brand. Stacked with luxury foam cushioning, Triumph 22 turns miles into smiles with the ultimate blend of comfort and energy return. Shop Triumph 22 at Saucony.com. That's S-A-U-C-O-N-Y.com.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Hello and welcome to Highway to Hoover, a production of SEC Extra over at D1Baseball.com. I'm your host, Joe Healy, joined today by Jacob Rudner of 247 Sports to talk Florida Gators baseball. I hear birds chirping in the background of Jacob's window here in our stream, so you love to hear that. There's something very spring about hearing the birds in the background there, so looking forward to talking some baseball with him. A lot to talk about with the Gators, both good and bad, so we'll get into all of it, but first, I have to let you know that this episode of Highway to Hoover and every episode of Highway to Hoover is brought to you by PitchLogic, the system used by players, coaches, scouts, and instructors at all levels of play, from youth leagues to the big leagues. The easy-to-use and affordable technology makes the platform accessible to every player at every level. All the metrics and features used at the highest level. See PitchLogic.com for more information. Jacob, I appreciate you joining us today. Lot to get to with the Gators, I assume, between... you know, your duties with baseball, the SEC basketball tournament coming up, a particularly busy time of year for you, I assume.
Yeah, it's definitely a busy time of year, but it is it's exciting baseball time now. So it's nice to be able to slowly start to transition into the portion of the year where baseball becomes the sole focus with conference play going. And that's around the corner. So we're close to exclusively baseball time.
Yeah, there's something fitting too, and I say this as a point of conversation, but also to let the listeners know when we're recording this, there's something kind of poetic about this game against Florida State tonight as we record this, being kind of like the kickoff to like, hey, baseball's here. You know, you've got this rivalry midweek game, and then you launch into SEC play with Texas A&M this weekend. So I say that to let the listeners know if something crazy happened in the FSU midweek game, we're recording this before it happens, so we don't know. That's why we're ignoring it. If you think we're just ignoring something crazy happening, so that is why. So up to this point, the Gators have played 15 games. They are 10-5. Jacob, tell me how to feel about this team. How would you characterize the first 15 games?
You know, I think that there are aspects of this Florida team that are exactly as expected and advertised, such as its offense. We knew that Florida was going to come into the season with a really high octane offense with several guys, especially towards that top, you know, 4 or 5 in the order, who had the potential to be really potent. Guys like Jack Caglione, obviously, Luke Heyman back in the fold after a really promising freshman year, Colby Shelton, the transfer from Alabama, was somebody who we knew was going to swing it well after he did so last year as a true freshman. So we knew Florida was going to be good on that side of the ball, and they have been. Florida has been one of the more productive offensive teams in the nation. Jack Caglione is really starting to tap into his power. He was hitting for a high average to start the season, and now the home runs are starting to come. Colby Shelton ranks 4th in the country as we're recording this in homers with 9. All of that is as advertised. We knew that Florida would be that way. I think one thing, if I had to bring up an early and obvious concern, however, would be on the mound. We knew that Florida was going to be young this season and that several true freshmen were going to have to step into these prominent roles, be them in middle relief. Guys like Robert Satin, Alex Philpott, you know, you mentioned the Florida State game. He'll be starting against the Seminoles. You know, Luke McNeely was a really highly touted name. All of those guys were going to have to contribute. And the results so far through 15 games haven't necessarily been terribly encouraging. And so that's been one aspect of concern on the mound for Florida. And also, I think some of the returning talent where Florida was expecting a lot of production hasn't really happened quite yet. Cade Fisher, Florida's Friday night guy, the southpaw, has struggled so far this year, has an ERA over 7.5. That has been discouraging. Liam Peterson, who we had a lot of high hopes for before the season, also a true freshman, has kind of struggled, but not in ways that I think are abnormal for somebody of his lack of experience. And then the real surprise to me has been just how potent Jack Caglione has been on Sundays. So I think Florida has a lot to figure out on the mound, and that's probably the biggest concern. You know, as you know better than anybody, the mound will dictate how well you're going to play over the course of a season when everything is said and done. But I think Florida has a lot of talent in that capacity. And we know that so long as they're figuring things out on the pitching side, they will have the offense in order to be able to hang with pretty much anybody.
It's so funny. This conversation has come up with some folks I've talked to recently about how spoiled as college baseball fans we got with the fact that you go back a couple of years and Carter Holton, Drew Beam, and Chase Burns were in the same freshman group of pitchers, and they were all great from the jump. And we're like, well, I guess we figured it out. Freshman pitchers are great now. And you look at this year, and you know, you mentioned Liam Peterson struggles. Ethan McIlvain at Vanderbilt hasn't been particularly good. Cam Johnson at LSU is not even really pitching for them right now. So yeah, it turns out not as easy as advertised. Who would have thought? I saw something you wrote, and I'd honestly had this thought before I saw something you wrote coming out of the weekend last weekend against St. Mary's, in that, well, let me pose it this way. Do you feel like maybe there's a little bit of overreaction to some of the struggles on the mound? Because I look at some of these peripherals, and Cade Fisher's strikeout rate is great. He's not really walking anybody. Liam Peterson hasn't really given up that many hits. Now, 4 of the 11 hits he's allowed have gone out of the ballpark. That's not really great. But batters are hitting less than 200 against him. He's striking dudes out. Is it possible that what we're looking at is just kind of some wonky stat stuff that is going to even out a little bit as the season goes on?
You know, I think so. And historically, when guys are in these weird kind of, you know, anomalous situations statistically, it tends to even out in a more positive fashion. You mentioned Cade Fisher, who I think is this like primary case of exactly what you're talking about. He is striking out guys at a 10% better clip than he did last year. He is walking batters half the rate that he did last year. The strikeout to walk ratio is among the top 40 pitchers, qualified pitchers in the country right now. Yet the contact he's giving up is really bad. He's giving up tons of hard contact. That batting average on balls in play, I think, is still hovering around 450 on the season, which is exceptionally high. The percentage of balls that are staying on the ground has decreased from what he was doing last year. And that was really kind of Cade Fisher's calling card. It wasn't the strikeout. He was able to get guys to roll over a lot of stuff and make bad contact. This year, we haven't seen that as much. There hasn't been, you know, the dominant ground ball pitching that Cade Fisher offered. And instead, we've seen a lot of balls get up into the air, and that's where he's gotten hurt, is, you know, the line drive, hard hit ball capacity. And it doesn't really matter if you're missing bats when the contact that you're giving up is really hard. And so, you know, I think that there is a degree to which that will just smooth itself out. Again, when we see guys who have these really high strikeout and really low walk rates, is it likely that they're going to continue to get hammered? Probably not. I mean, the control is good. That being said, I think it's also fair to say that his slider has not played the same way as it did last year. He's kind of been pulling it a little bit more, almost trying to force the issue, and it's gotten him into trouble. And so I wonder if, you know, will Florida be able to smooth that out over time? Is the strikeout rate enough to cause this ballooned hard contact rate to come down? Maybe. And I think historically, you know, we could agree that the signs would point to that occurring. But I also think that Florida has to be aware of the fact that it hasn't gone well to this point, and it probably should have changes on its radar, which we know it does. I don't think that Florida is at a point yet where it's going to start removing guys from its rotation. I actually think we're quite far away from that still. But I do think that we could see some shifting in who pitches in which role. So Jack Caglione is currently pitching on Sundays. Would it surprise me to see him move up a day in the rotation and maybe pitch on Saturdays, which would kind of give Florida some flexibility to shift him up again into that Friday role? Maybe. And now, granted, there are a lot of complicated aspects that come with moving Jack Caglione around in the rotation because of everything else he does. But from a pure pitching standpoint, I wouldn't be surprised to see Kevin O'Sullivan start to tinker with the order in which he has guys throwing and see if maybe that can be a spark plug, just in case, you know, these statistics don't even themselves out like we would expect and like history would indicate is certainly possible.
Let's just spitball for a second on the Cags piece of it. They let's say they move him up a day and with an eye towards moving him up to Friday at some point. Do you think that would involve, let's just use the hypothetical of Saturday, would that involve more DHing for him on Sunday just because of the fatigue factor and maybe not being as sharp in the field? How much of a feel do you have for the knock-on effects of that move should it happen?
You know, I think, and as everybody knows at this point, a lot of this is going to be his representation and how they feel about, you know, taxing his arm if they were to move him up. And, you know, are you willing to let him play first base and continue to use his arm the day after he pitches? I would lean towards probably not. This is a guy who is worth several million dollars, is a surefire top 10 pick in the draft. Are the people around him, is he willing to risk, you know, the extra taxing on his arm that would occur? I would lean towards no. That being said, I do think that Florida values his defensive capabilities at first base maybe a little bit more than the general public does. He's actually a pretty solid defensive first baseman, and I think Florida takes a marginal step back when he's not in the field. So if they were to move him up, I'm certain that the conversation would at least start as, are you willing to go play first base after you pitch? And I do wonder, you know, what the real impact of that would be on his arm if he were to continue to play first base. He is actively doing it right now. He throws from first base on Friday, Saturday, and then pitches on Sunday. Does the order in which those things happen matter? Maybe. And I would be more inclined to potentially put him as a DH after he pitches. But I could still see it going either way. And I think that that's kind of a conversation that will have to be had over time. And I think even there's a degree to which trying it and seeing how it goes and feels and looks will have an impact on exactly how Florida carries forward if it chooses to move Cags out of that Sunday spot.
Hey, everyone. We're going to take a quick break from our discussion to hear a couple ads from our sponsors.
Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Experience the joy of running in the new Triumph 22 from Saucony, the original running brand. Stacked with luxury foam cushioning, Triumph 22 turns miles into smiles with the ultimate blend of comfort and energy return. Shop Triumph 22 at Saucony.com. That's S-A-U-C-O-N-Y.com.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection and cold-pressed to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
One more pitching thing before we talk a little more about the lineup. You mentioned the youth on this pitching staff. A lot of that has been expressed in the bullpen with some of these bridge guys. What have you liked out of that group? Like, who should we be excited about in that newcomer group? Because it feels like it's been a little bit of a mixed bag out there.
Sure. I actually will go back to somebody who I texted you about in the fall, which is righty Alex Philpott. Alex Philpott, I think, gets a little bit or not enough attention. His stuff is more comparable to what guys are throwing currently in the big leagues in terms of the spin rates on his pitches, in terms of how they behave, than other college pitchers. He is a really advanced pitcher for a somewhat undersized 6'4", 6'5"-ish true freshman who doesn't throw particularly hard, but still gets a lot of swing and miss just based on how he's able to get the ball out of his hand. It is elite in terms of how he spins a fastball. His off-speed pitches are very sharp, and I think he's starting to push himself more into that, you know, guy we can rely on role, rather than a true freshman who Florida needs to continue to experiment with. Now, I think as I said earlier, the problem with Florida's bullpen right now is beyond him, it gets pretty murky. I think Florida is still trying to figure out who it can rely on and in which capacity, which time of game suits guys well. Grayson Smith has a very advanced feel for a splitter that I think is going to allow him to continue to be a part of Florida's bullpen. Lefty Robert Satin will essentially have to be somebody who Florida can rely on. He's one of only two bullpen guys who throw from the left side who are healthy for the Gators right now. So the depth and the options there are very thin. For the same reason, I think southpaw Frank Menendez is somebody who's either going to have to step up or is going to put Florida in a pretty challenging position with only one true left-hander. And look, you know, I think that there are others who we could see emerge. Luke McNeely comes to mind. He's got good stuff, but it hasn't really played yet so far this season, who could emerge as options for Florida. But beyond Philpott, maybe Grayson Smith, and occasionally Robert Satin, who has a really good ERA but a very high walk rate, I think it's still very much an experiment for Florida right now. They're still kind of in that wait and see who emerges mode. And Kevin O'Sullivan hasn't shied away from admitting that either. He said on several occasions, we need these guys to step up, and they haven't yet. So, you know, the short answer is I really like Alex Philpott, and there are other guys with good stuff. And the long answer is, you know, there's a long way to go, and Florida has a lot to figure out still.
Speaking of experiments, and maybe this is a little bit too harsh on it, but it felt like an experiment going into the season. What is your appraisal of Colby Shelton, the shortstop?
You know, I actually think he's done an admirable job. Do I think he is blowing onlookers away, be them scouts or fans, with his ability at shortstop? No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, there are a lot of guys across the country who are going to have more range and be quicker to the ball and be a lot more flashy and have the ability to get to harder stuff in the hole that Colby Shelton just can't, at least not yet. But for a guy who is not really a shortstop, more of a third baseman, I actually think he's done a very good job. He hasn't had a lot of errors. There are some plays that I'm certain he wished that he could have back. But again, and you know, I think Florida fans are starting to realize this, that's a process that's going to require some patience. Florida is committed at this point to keeping Colby Shelton at shortstop. I don't foresee that being something that gets changed anytime soon. And being that he was not really a shortstop last year, there are going to be growing pains that are associated with that. And occasionally he will make a bad read, or occasionally he won't get to a ball that I think Florida fans got used to seeing last year with a guy like Josh Rivera, who really didn't have a whole lot of holes in his defensive game. And so, you know, relative to what you can expect from a non-shortstop, or at least somebody whose shortstop is not their primary position, it's been really good, and I'm encouraged by his arm. And if I were a pro team, I think that he's played well enough to give himself the consideration of somebody who's flexible. Maybe not a full-time shortstop at the next level, probably still more of a third baseman, maybe even on the other side of the infield at second. But could he play shortstop at a serviceable level? I think we've learned, yes, he can.
On Jack Haglione, the offensive player, one thing that stands out to me is that he's already walked 11 times. Last year, I think he only had 17. So there's three viable explanations for this, right? Bad opposing pitching, the way he's being pitched, or better swing decisions. How would you kind of assess the Venn diagram of those things that we've now seen, that not only is he walking more, but it's his walk rate right now is double his strikeout rate?
I'm going to give possibly the most frustrating answer, in that it is all of the things that you just said. I don't think that there's a single aspect of this that is not included. I think that he is seeing better pitches to hit. I think that that has increased the fear, if you will, on the mound for opposing teams, because he has been so effective with his bat that you don't really want to throw to this guy. And this is just not a player who you want to mess with. If there's an open base, you are probably statistically better off giving it to him than you are letting him try and hit his way on. And so we've seen some decisions to intentionally walk him. We've seen some decisions to, pitch around him very aggressively, and that there's really nothing close to the zone. And that has helped. But I also will give the credit where it's due, in that the swing and the decisions have been refined. And I think that we've seen his approach mature at the plate. He is not necessarily tapping into the power in terms of the volume of home runs that he had hit by this point last year. And I don't think that's because he's not the same power hitter. I think that's because we're seeing Jack use all the field a lot better. I think we're seeing him choose what he's going to swing at and what not a lot more frequently. The strikeouts are down. And this is a guy who's rounding himself into this player who probably would have gotten top 10 draft consideration as a hitter alone. I mean, it's just a very mature approach. He is hitting the ball to all fields. And you want to talk about something that's even more encouraging, something than, you know, recognizing pitches to take walks on. He's taking pitches the other way. Teams are shifting against him aggressively, and he is taking outside half pitches to the left side of the field, and it's resulting in hits. So the all-around approach, be it the eye, be it just the overall discipline, the ability to kind of use all of the field in between the foul lines better than he did last year. This is a much more mature Jack Caglione. It is not the same Cags where we saw kind of swing out of his shoes with a light tower power last year. This is a complete hitter, and I think it's a really huge benefit for Florida's lineup, the step he's taken offensively.
When I look at least on the face value of the statistics, the guys who Florida expected to produce have largely produced, and the guys we had questions about have kind of been some version of inconsistent or what have you. But so you tell me, as someone who is watching this pitch to pitch as opposed to at 30,000 feet, is there anything about this position player group that has been out of step with what you expected on either end of the spectrum, frankly?
You know, I think that I'll give you one on each side. I think on the positive end of the spectrum, I've been really impressed with the at-bats Armando Albert has taken. Very mature approach at the plate. Another element to his game that isn't necessarily swing-related but equally as important is he's quick. And Florida hasn't really had that quickness on the base paths in recent years, and that's an element that I think that Kevin O'Sullivan is trying to utilize a little bit more. He brought in a guy like Jalen Guy who can really run. Michael Robertson is already somebody who we knew could really run. And now they have multiple options to be able to take extra bases when it doesn't involve a hit or being moved over by somebody else. They can create offense with their legs. And, you know, again, the maturity for a fifth-year senior is definitely there. We're seeing how good of a hitter Armando Albert really can be. I'll be interested to see how that translates into SEC play for sure. And then on the negative end of the spectrum, I think that Florida would like more out of the third base position, regardless of who's playing there, although it's primarily been Dale Thomas. Dale Thomas has a really good eye. He is able to identify his strike zone down to a scientific degree. I mean, the guy, if it's just a tiny tick off the plate, he seems to be able to recognize that. The problem has been that his bat speed and pitch recognition have not translated to a very productive average. A lot of his hits have been, you know, homers. He's hit the ball really hard, but he hasn't hit the ball very efficiently. And that's something that I think Florida expected out of him this year, especially after the flashes we saw in 2023. Would I say that Dale Thomas has played his way off the field, though? No, I don't think so. His defense is very good. He still does have the ability to leave the yard, and I think that that's something that Florida is willing to invest in, especially at the bottom of its lineup. But would it like to see him hit for a higher average and be a little bit more consistent in his approach? Of course. And so that's probably towards that negative end. If you asked me, you know, 4 months ago, what I thought Dale Thomas was going to be when he was in the midst of this really hot fall, I would have told you it's better than a roughly 200 hitter with a handful of home runs.
And that last little bit there is, I think, a great illustration of as much hand-wringing as there's been the last week or so about Florida's pitching staff, and understandably so. I'm not hand-waving that away. The fact that when we talk about issues here, at least offensively, we're talking about whether or not, like, Dale Thomas is play, you know, like, it just, it's a relatively nitpicky thing, which I think is shows that, hey, look, yes, this team still has some things to work through. They're not the number two team in the country right now as we had them in our preseason poll, but this is still a team where a lot more is going right than is going wrong. And that's easy to lose sight of when you have an ugly series against St. Mary's, a team that, at least for the uninitiated, probably assumed that it was going to be a rollover series. So certainly plenty of good there. I expect it to only get better as the season goes on. And some of these younger players, especially the mound, start to get their sea legs under them. That is going to do it for this edition of Highway to Hoover, a production of SEC Extra over at d1baseball.com. First off, Jacob, I appreciate you joining us today and filling us in on what's been a, kind of just an intriguing early start to the season for the Gators.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to join you and look forward to hopping on soon.
So thank you to Jacob Rudner of 247 Sports for joining us. Follow his stuff on social media at 247 Sports. I'm going to embarrass him now because he's on here. Truly one of the best. I put him up there. He and Aria Gerson of the Tennessean, very good at taking data or performance and kind of putting it in context and telling you what it means and getting just beyond this guy's stats are good, therefore he's performing well. This guy's stats are bad. This is what he's performing poorly. He and Ari are who I look to, two SEC baseball beat writers who do a really good job of putting context behind that stuff. So now that I've thoroughly embarrassed him, we will move past that. But thank you, Jacob, for joining us. Thank you to PitchLogic for sponsoring this and every episode of Highway to Hoover. And thank you, the listeners, for listening. We'll talk to y'all soon.
The Highway to Hoover podcast is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcasts.
Experience the joy of running in the new Triumph 22 from Saucony, the original running brand. Stacked with luxury foam cushioning, Triumph 22 turns miles into smiles with the ultimate blend of comfort and energy return. Shop Triumph 22 at Saucony.com. That's Saucony.com.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use 3 kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.